Blog Talk Radio.
Don't forget your music.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to open our hearts and minds, to be receptive to this your word, Father, so that we can receive a greater revelation of the truth of this word, instead of deception, so we can walk stronger and straighter and be of more help in the field of harvest, Father, than what we have been. I'm asking, Father, use each one of us to get us further along in reaching those that are walking in darkness and bringing them to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that they will go and repent and begin their life of righteousness into making heaven their home. Now, Father, be with us through this study. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Before I get into our lesson, Amy had asked me how I was doing. I told her I'd been busy. And I also told her I was going to share with you all what I've been up to today. And I know what some of you are thinking. Uh-oh. That's what you're thinking. But no. You see, as I've always told you, that none of us are paid. We use the money that comes in here to help others and to help the ministry so it can grow, and doing things to let people know that God loves them. Well, today, I was at the nursing home. And I found out that between the patients and the workers there is 100. I wanted to do something for them. So I went to a restaurant where I go to quite a bit to get treats and all for my wife. I asked them what 100 cheeseburgers and 100 fries would cost me. And if they could do that and have them ready for noontime dinner. One of the young ladies who work there know me from where I go in so much to get a treat. And as she was figuring up what this would run, she told me, she said, you know, the fries are $3 an order. But her and another man that was there, standing by her, they told me, said, but you can get them for $1. So instead of the fries costing me $300, they cost me $100. Well, then, when she figured out the rest of it, it was going to be $180, which made everything come to $280. Then she told me, she says, I've talked to my boss back there, and she said, myself, I'm going to give you $50 on this. And she said, also, with the fries and the cheeseburger, they'll get an iced tea, a piece of cake, and an ice cream cone. Will all be added to that. And with her $50 off, that brought it back to $230 to feed this whole nursing home staff. And it also let them see that there are people out there that care for them. This is supposed to take place Tuesday at noon. This coming Tuesday at noon. That's what I've been up to today. And I didn't get back home until late this evening because I had to go to the nursing home, back to the nursing home, and get with the boss there to make sure it was going to be all right and what day would be all right with it. And so we got all of that worked out. Then I had to go back to the restaurant again to go ahead and make the arrangements. But you know, we have here in this area where I live, we have that nursing home. We have two assisted living places. And we also have a County Jail. These are all places that we are supposed to be visiting, and I do. In fact, one of the sister living places, I was holding a Bible study there with them at 2 o'clock in the evening. This is the work that we should be doing in the community, and all churches should be concerned with it, because most of those people, they have no one to visit them. They're put in these places and just about forgotten. And they really get joy out of someone just walking by and speaking to them. There's another table there where at our nursing home, when I go in the door, there's always three of the same women sitting at that table. And I went by and I asked them, I said, well, you ladies being good? This one looked up at me and she said, I am. I said, well, you ladies tell me that. The other one sitting there, she looked up at me and she said, I'm not. I said, well, at least you're being honest. And the other lady said, I'm good. So I said, well, we've got two good ones and one bad one, ain't we? And they sitting there just laughing with me and all. Just the idea of speaking a few words with them, even in kind of teasing, they get such joy out of it. But where I go down as often as I go, there's a lot of men there that know me, and they recognize me when I come in, and they'll speak, wave at me, and all. And they, the ones that was working there, couldn't hardly get over the idea that we was willing to do this for them. Oh, but now, you see, they know why, and they know that it's being done because God loves them, and they love the ones that even care for them. That's what I've been up to today. And it cost us $230 to do that. That's nothing to the joy that they will have for that. All right. That's enough of that. But I want you to know, because I've been telling everybody what we do with the money that does come in. So anyone that would like to donate to us, they are helping us reach out into the community to those that are sitting that have no one or very little to give them any understanding or joy at all. All right. We're going to be in Luke chapter 19 this evening. And since I've took up that time, we may not have time to get all the way through it. But that's all right. We're doing things for the good Lord, either way we go about it. And I appreciate all the help that I am getting. Now, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacharias, which was the chief among publicans, and he was rich. Oh boy. Now, you know, Zacharias, his name actually lets us know that he is Jewish. And by him being the chief publican, as the scripture gives us, which means he's chief tax collector, and also lets us know he's a rich one. But that too is also letting you and I know that he was probably not very ethical in his business practices. In other words, things wouldn't be just quite right. Or he wouldn't have been rich because they didn't get paid that kind of money. Now, three, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. He was a small man evidently, and he couldn't even get to see him. Four. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacharias, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Jesus knows him. You see, as I've told you before, nothing is hid about us. Jesus knows us and knows all about us. Now, six. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know, Zacharias' joy could stem from Jesus' sheer willingness to dine with him, because he wasn't figured on that. Because you see, in that day and time, table fellowship was a sign of a certain amount of mutual acceptance. And that's why the Pharisees would not eat with the publicans. They wouldn't do it. Now here Jesus is telling Zacharias that he is going to abide at his house. Now, seven. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going to be great, or going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. You see, they don't like it. Eight. And Zacharias stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by a false accusation, I restore him fourfold. You see, Zacharias' confession there reveals that he's got a penitent heart. And that if that's there in that verse does not suggest doubt that he is guilty of wrongdoing, but the only question is to what extent. Now, you see, illegally gained money in that day and time had to be returned plus one-fifth. A fourfold return was legislated where livestock was concerned. They had some odd laws and traditions in that day and time. And that one of them. Now, 9. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, he's letting Zacharias know that salvation has come to his house. In these words, seek and save and lost, all appear elsewhere in Scripture in a shepherd context. You know, and this verse 10 may be taken as a kernel statement of the central theme of Luke. Jesus is compassionate, searching for those that he can seek to save who can by no means save themselves. He's really looking for the lost. Now, 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself the kingdom and to return. Now you take there that he's getting nigh to Jerusalem. And it comes down to letting you and I know that he is soon to be returned back home to the kingdom and out of this life. Now, 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Now this is a parable. And this verse 13 is letting them know to do business, which was trade. This is a word used only by Luke. Now, 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. He's letting them know about their rejection of him. Luke's readers that reads this should understand that Jewish rejection of Jesus is implied here. Now, 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Yeah, he's wanting to find out about all of this. 16. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thy good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He's given him authority over 10 cities. 18. And the second came and said, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. 20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. 21. For I feared thee, because thou art an Austrian man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. Not thinking very highly of him, is it? And he saith unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an Austrian man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury? Now, 24. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. 26. He says, for I say unto you, that to every one which has shall be given, and from him that has not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. 27. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. You see, Jesus there is referred to the malcontent and the severity of the image of how man stands and how he would impress those who heard Jesus but opposed him, of the danger in which they stood. You and I, if we will not use what God has given us, his word, and other blessings that he has bestowed upon us, we can expect, just like this last week, to be cast out of his kingdom. into outer darkness that we've been told about before. You see, we are to use everything that God lets us receive, and we are to use it really for His purpose. That's why I do the things I do with that comes into this ministry. I use it for that purpose, letting others see the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be of some help to them in helping to give them a little joy and a little peace of mind. And in doing that, it lets me talk with them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe some of them needs the Lord and will accept Him and make heaven their home. The 28th. And when He had thus spoken, He went before ascending up to Jerusalem. 29. And it came to pass when He was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, two of His disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, into which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord has need of him. 32. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as He had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord has need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And they cast their garments upon the colt. They set Jesus thereon. Now, ordinarily, when a man would have got on him for the first time, he had to throw that man whining. But he's not doing a thing. Jesus is just sitting on him. 37. And when He was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You know, this crowd's acclamation leaves a little bit there for thought. That the thought is of the Messiah somehow manifesting God's glory on earth. In a few days, some of the same populace would be demanding Jesus' execution. You see, because they didn't really like Him. They denied Him. They didn't want Him around. And we are dealing with all of that there. But they're calling Him King now there, and said that He cometh in the name of the Lord. He is the Lord. 39. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. They're wanting them rebuked. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these could hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Pharisees want to holler, but Jesus is letting them know that if man didn't praise him, the stones would. Now, 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. 42. Saying, if thou hadst known, even thou at least, in this thy day, the thing which belongs unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side. 44. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest time of thy visitation. You see, Jesus, he wept in coming into Jerusalem, and he was lamenting over Jerusalem. But he was not fooled by the order of the welcoming mob. Because you see, to him, one of Jesus being overcome with emotion following the months or years of preparation for a ministry whose terrible climax would take place here. And we knew this was the place for Jesus to be taken and crucified. He knew that also. Now, 45. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, it is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. 48, in the last verse of chapter 19. And could not find what they might do, for all the people were very attentive to hearing. You see, they even themselves would have destroyed him, but they was afraid of these people that followed him, and they was enough of them, but they are always seeking a way to destroy him. Now, I'm going to stop here for this evening. And the next time we'll be picking up with chapter 20. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We pray, Father, that they can have peace. We know that right now they're not having much peace. Rockets come into their land every day, causing destruction and death. But Father, we also pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land of ours, Father, that has turned so evil because of the leadership we have, evil in our governments and in our churches, that has brought evil into places that it should never have been even entered in the door. And Father, we pray that those leaders be removed from office and be replaced with ones that are yours, that loves you, loves the Lord Jesus, that loves the church, that loves your people and this country, and will work with us, put our government back on the foundation that it was founded on, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Amy, her husband Tom, her son Jacob, for James Taylor, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for Courtney and Shane, Father, for myself, for Beatrice, and Father, for all of our families, because we all have family members that are not right. We pray that the Holy Spirit work with them and can bring them to a knowledge of knowing that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, and that they will come out of darkness to the light, and that light being Jesus, and on their way of making heaven their home, so that none be lost. Now, Father, as we separate from this evening and through the night, keep us in health, Father. Keep us safe. And bring us all back together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless everyone. Take care. Hold God's hand and he'll hold on to you. Have a great, great, great evening, and praise the Lord God, and thank him for everything that you have. Bye-bye now.